Mud, eggs, chalk, newspaper, water, and a minnow from the pond, steel, glass, carabiners, climbing rope, Klemheist knots. These are the materials that make up Jennifer Whiteman's art piece called Transect, a landscape painting in the truest sense of the word, which was part of a recent art exhibit entitled Whale Oil to Whole Foods, curated by Fawn Potash and Christy Rupp, and co-sponsored by the Cornell Cooperative Extension Agroforestry Center and the Green County Council on the Arts. This is writer Deborah Artman. Not long ago, I met Jennifer Whiteman in the beautiful Siuslaw Model Forest in Acre, New York, as she was assembling her piece. If you hear dog tags jingling in the background, that would be my miniature poodle, Lily, who joined me on this adventure. Jennifer Whiteman is unusual in that she is both a working scientist and a visual artist. She received her Bachelor's of Science in Cell Biology from Carnegie Mellon University and her Master's in Environmental Toxicology and Cancer Cell Biology from Cornell University. She works as a researcher at Cornell, focusing on greenhouse gas emission and mitigation potential from agronomic systems. Currently, she also is artist in residence on Governor's Island with the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council Swing Space Program. So, Jenny, you're formally trained as a biologist and you are a working scientist. When and how did you start making art?
When I first started college, I read my first science paper and I couldn't understand anything. And the only words I understood was the and and the rest was, like, bizarre. So by the time I was a graduate student, I really wanted my thesis to be readable by somebody who had a high school level education. As a result, I made an ecological footprint of a Cornell student. So I found out how many tons of paper Cornell recycles, 8.5 by 11 a year. And then I did an ecological footprint of how much area of forest you would need in order to physically grow a sustainable supply of that, and it turns out to be 500 square meters. So then I took tree stumps and I put them through this part of the arboretum at Cornell. And then in the forest, right next to the field, I marked with pink marking tape all the trees that would need to be cut down as a contrast. And then in the middle, I put a big column of paper, which I signed with my thesis. You know, you get all meta when you're doing science, right? You get all very abstract, you get very disconnected, but you're using the physical world. You're very much using the physical world, and I struggle with that right or that appropriateness of using resources.
Jennifer explained to me how she was fascinated by landscape paintings and how things change in a landscape. Her piece, Transect, is
mud and water from a location, and then the endogenous bacteria photosynthesize pigments, all right? And they photosynthesize pigments according to the ecological niches that develop inside of the ecosystem. And so when I saw this call in Greene County for art, I've become interested in the Hudson River School of Art. And what I proposed to do initially was to do a landscape painting in the dimensions of an actual Friedrich Church painting to hang in the gallery. But then they asked me to do it in the forest. So then I drove up here and I walked around the forest to figure out what I felt would be appropriate. And when I saw this red pine planted in 1962, I loved how man-made it was. Like, I loved, is it pronounced Olana?
Olana, yes.
I love how in the 1800s, this, like, landscape painter, which I generally think of as being very provincial and kind of boring, and like I never really liked them, but he actually sculpted his own landscape, and he's kind of a conceptual artist. Like, he has this piece in the Met, and what's so cool about it is that originally he had it behind a glass panel, and he wanted people to come in with opera glasses and not look at the landscape as one single image, but like look up here and see the little birds up there, and then move down and then see this little path and then see this little thing, you know, like he wanted you to travel through the Andes like he had traveled, which is kind of the opposite of what a landscape painting generally does. It gives you this one large view. So he was asking you to go micro. And I love that in the 1800s he was doing that, because in a sense that's what I'm doing here, right? I'm taking the soils from the actual landscape and I'm letting you see the microorganisms sort of populate where they normally would. So I get to the forest and I see this red pine planted forest. It's a human planted forest. It's very straight. It's very not organic in that, you know, that kind of old forest way. This is organic in like the nouveau organic or neo organic or postmodern organic. I mean, I don't know. And it's just so straight that I wanted to make a very sort of abstract square. And then I thought, oh, but the trees are such a long base. They're like maybe 8 inches in diameter, 10 inches in diameter. So it wasn't really wide enough to give it a nice chunky square. So then I decided to make it a long, thin panel. And then that's what led to the idea of a transect, right? A soil transect where you like dig down 20 inches and you pull up a transect, or a transect across a landscape where you take a sample here and then, you know, 200 yards later you take another sample and 200 yards later you take another sample.
So now you work with bacteria. Mm-hmm. How did you decide that that was the medium of choice that you wanted to work with?
I love that they photosynthesize pigments. Mm-hmm. I love that they're single-celled organisms that thrive in all kinds of ecosystems. They thrive in the Arctic. They thrive, you know, in sulfur hot springs. I mean, they're like the first artists, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're single-celled organisms, but they've traveled the world, and they have synthesized all kinds of responses to crazy ecosystems. And I love to think of them as, like, the first painters.
In this piece, what do you expect to see? Or do you have an expectation?
What I love about these projects is that they change, and I can't control that. It's infinite growth in a finite ecosystem, which is like Earth, right? The reason why you don't normally see bacteria is that they only photosynthesize pigments as a coping mechanism. So They'll make a pigment when they're not in their ideal environment. So most of these bacteria that you'll be seeing here grow deep in the soil column. And the only reason you're seeing them is that there's a glass face, which allows it to access sunlight, which then it allows it to photosynthesize the pigments. You can think of this as, you know, a finite vessel of sunlight, water, and soil. And that means that any one time there's all these molecular formulations in that soil that are favorable to certain species of bacteria. And so those species will, you know, there'll be one and it'll make a little colony and it'll be like a pointless pigment, right? And then it'll spread out in its horizontal band, because that's how the niches build up, is in these horizontal bands. And so they'll populate a whole band of color. But then what happens is they eat up all their resources and they pollute out all their pollutants and they give way to another bacteria that likes their waste products. And so another bacteria starts as a single, right? And then it makes a little pointless colony and then it populates the horizontal band and it changes the color. It gets really exciting in about 6 weeks because it's gone from absolutely mud to this color field painting.
And did the colors span the whole rainbow?
Or no, I haven't seen any blues. And that kind of makes sense, right? Because blue is a powerful wavelength, so most organisms try to use that powerful wavelength. But I've had pinks and fluorescent orange, all kinds of grays and greens and browns, yellow. And I had sort of this pinkish purple color. It was sort of like a silvery pink, gray, purple. But I've not had any blue. They're just delicate and gorgeous.
So people who might come to the forest, if they came over time, they would see your piece change over time.
Absolutely. And that's the point.
And that's probably the best way to experience your work, is to, you know, note how it looks at the outset and then come back and revisit it. Now, you've written quite beautifully, I think, about your work. And I wondered if I read some of your words to you, if you could expand on them for our listeners. The first is, what it is in its becoming is what it means.
I have this love affair with being literal. For me, these paintings are quite literal. Like, the organisms are both the object of the painting and the agent of the painting. You know, they're both the noun and a verb. I just love the fact that something can be a noun and a verb, that it can be the object and it can be the agency of that object. So they're painting themselves.
So why don't we get to the building of the piece itself? So, Jennifer is now pouring water into a bucket with mud, and there's twigs in there and rocks, and it looks like it would be good to touch.
It's really gross. My mother, she used to make us do these horrible things. We would go to every bog as a child. Like, we would learn about these deer that fell into the bog and that were like decomposing in the bog, and then she would like show us Venus fly traps and, like, you know, they're killing bugs. And
was she a scientist also?
No, she wasn't.
She
but
was
it's,
a naturalist.
She was a naturalist. And what's so funny is, like, you know, we would pump these holes with a stick and then you could light it because the bacteria methane. Had made the methane. She would drag us to all these places. And I was just like, oh, Mom, do we have to go to another stinky place? Or do I have to touch that? Or, like, do we have to identify another bug?
Like, and here you are making stinky things that you are touching.
I know.
I'm just dying to have opportunities to do that.
A million variations of this project, right?
Oh, this project.
Like, they're just like landscape paintings in the sense that, like, you can do them everywhere, and they're going to all be different just by the nature, right? And that's, like, how we get diversity in our ecosystems, like, all these variations in the natural world is what allows for all this incredible diversity of life, and I'm just exploiting that. I'm just making it visible. Can you take out, I think I want 3 eggs. Ooh! I love doing this with kids.
Shells go in as well.
And then what we need,
it's like a recipe for art.
Yes. And then we need this chalk. And what the chalk... So the eggs act as a source of sulfur. And the chalk acts as a pH balance. And then I'm going to put in newspaper, which is cheap energy. It's just cellulose that they're all just going to chomp up. So I got your local... What is this? I went to the...
The daily,
I got the daily mail weekend.
Great.
So it's gonna get.
That's a good purpose for it. Make art. Daily Mail. So Jennifer is grating the chalk with a little, you know, cheese grater, and the
very
flakes.
High tech.
The flakes are falling over this composition of mud and eggshell and egg yolk and egg white. It's interesting to think about the composition of all these objects. I mean, sort of lose track of that in daily life, you know, and how they interact with each other.
Well, and that this is what we're made of. I mean, yeah, we're really recomposed dirt. I mean, all those like mythological or religious references to men of clay. I mean, spinach, it's glorified dirt. I mean, I'm glorified dirt. And I love that. You know, our bodies are just reconstituted elements from the periodic table, right? It's just we've synthesized them. And that's what the bacteria are doing. They're synthesizing these pigments along with everything else that they're doing. But mm-hmm. And that's what's so fun about this, too, is like, you know, they're synthesizing pigments that allows us to see them. They're little artists, right? And they're using sunlight to feed themselves in an emergency situation. Like, how cool is that? Can you give me a not top section? Because I think I want to put the, yeah, that living today. Oh, that looks
nice. Creating into the golden years. That's perfect.
All right, so I am now ripping up this weekend's newspaper. But you look inside of this forest and it's got the most gorgeous colors. It's like pink and silver. It's almost purple and then orange. And browns and reds. And then the soil in the pond is all red. It's incredibly clayey, which I'm curious to see how the bacteria respond to such dense clay. Right? It's going to make it really anaerobic really quickly.
And that means what exactly?
Anaerobic means it's without oxygen, which is... A lot of bacteria thrive without oxygen, right? Because they were the first organisms that evolved on Earth when Earth had no oxygen. You know, and like this is cool too. Like one of my favorite things to note about bacteria is that they made life habitable by making methane, which is a potent greenhouse gas, in order to make it warm. So, you know, bacteria were the first climate changers. And that made it possible for other life to evolve, which I find quite beautiful. And I also think it's important to realize that climate change is a function of action, mm-hmm. right? Microorganism action and our action. Unfortunately, the rate of change that we're inducing is really dramatic. This is really disgusting.
Wait, I want to look.
I think you missed all the yellow yolk part.
Oh no, I see some yellow yolk.
And I also forgot to bring a funnel.
So Jennifer is now putting the mud through a slot at the top of her frame that she welded herself, and letting it sliding down the back glass. Is that glass on the back
yeah,
of it?
Yeah, it's white glass.
And sort of sliding down to the bottom. Slowly.
Oh, look at that. I mean, I just... Ooh, the roots and everything.
This mud is doing a very slow, dramatic descent down to the bottom of the frame. And as it's doing that, these tiny roots are trailing behind it. You know, sort of attaching itself to the glass. And she's now pouring water into the top part of this frame. So now, by all appearances, it looks just like mud. Mm-hmm. And
it should settle out.
A little stirring with a stick.
Extremely high tech.
This, I think, is the epitome of organic art.
Goo. And maybe I'll just leave those air bubbles in there because, you know, something, they'll make other little ecosystems, you know, because they're, you can see you have these different layers already. I saw a great landscape painting the other day. It was this little tree on top of a gigantic layering of rock, right? And what is rock? Just layers and layers of dirt, which is layers and layers of time. And I thought it was one of the most brilliant landscape paintings I've ever seen, just because, like, that person got a real sense of time and place, right? Mm-hmm. Geologic time, mm-hmm. geologic landscape. That's a little bit of the algae that's growing in the water, that green. It's already, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't put the little fish in. Maybe it's just... Shall we go hang it?
Okay. Jenny, thank you so much. This has been really fun watching you at work. And I'm very curious to see how it changes over time. I think that's going to be fun.
This is art correspondent Deborah Artman. You've been listening to a conversation with Jennifer Whiteman, an artist and scientist who had a piece called Transect in the recent Greene County exhibit, Whale Oil to Whole Foods. Though the work formally closed on August 31st, I went by the Siuslaw Model Forest over Labor Day weekend, and her work was still hanging. What was just mud now contained neon lime green blotches and dark green dots, pale pinkish brown areas, purple dots, white and pink veins, a deep rust-colored red. You might take a chance and see if it is still hanging. We are hoping the piece will travel to Art Omi later this year. In the meantime, you can catch Jenny's work on Governor's Island in New York City, where she is artist in residence with the Lower Manhattan Cultural Council's Swing Space program. The open house for that event is September 29th and 30th and is accessible by a free ferry from Manhattan or Brooklyn.